In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Father, dear religious, dear friends, a few weeks ago, Father Hawker, one of our society priests, who joined later in life, died. He passed away. That now makes three priests in the last year in the U.S. District who have died. We only ordained two last June. I've also just returned from the priors meeting a few weeks ago, hearing the various priors around the district talking about some of the priests who are out of commission, burnt out, maybe going to our Sursum Corda house in Phoenix, where they will offer their mass or pray their breviary in retirement because their health doesn't allow them to do anymore. And at the same time, over these last years, we've had an influx of souls into our chapels. We're grateful for that, of course. Thanks be to God. Souls who came to us during COVID. Souls who have been coming to us because they're confused by the modernism and the church, by what's going on. And so they've sought refuge here in our various chapels. Many souls even who have moved here to St. Mary's in the last year because of the Immaculata. There are 30,000 souls in the U.S. District for the Society. 5,000 of them are here. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. This year we asked a number of priests who have preached our academy retreats, could you come back and preach again? Five of them had to decline because there's already too much work going on in their local parishes and their local priories. I was barely able to get a priest to come and preach our parish mission this year, only at the last minute. Well, it's needless to say that can't continue. The older priests are dying. Those who were the pioneers who offered mass in the hotels and in the basements of our parents' and grandparents' homes, they're dying, and none of us are getting any younger. Those who worked so hard to set up the schools that we profit from now, those who laid the foundation so that we could build the churches that we're in now, who's there to replace them? From St. Mary's, thanks be to God, we do have 19 young men in the seminary from St. Mary's alone. Every single one of them went to a society school, every single one. 17 of the 19 are alumni of our academy. We're very grateful for that. But we need priests, not merely seminarians. Why don't more young men pursue the priesthood? Perhaps it's they don't know what a priest is. Perhaps they don't know what a priest does. Perhaps they see the priests that they know, and they say to themselves, there's no way I could do that. I could hear confessions. There's no way I could get up in front of people and preach a sermon. I hate singing publicly. There's no way I could do a sung mass. Or whatever thoughts may go through a young man's mind. Maybe it's that. Or perhaps, as is most likely the case, the modern world has stifled their souls from being mature enough. Perhaps the modern world has stifled their virtue of purity, making a life of celibacy impossible. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he came on this earth with one purpose. He came to die. He didn't come to live, he came to die. He came to save souls through his death. His life was not about having a family, creating offspring, having a career, having money. His whole life was about laying down his life. I am come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. And that could have been it. When our Lord came and suffered and died, that could have been it. That could have been his plan of redemption. And that would apply to every soul that would exist in the future. And we know that, objectively speaking, he did die for all men who would live in the future. But we also know that in his special plan of providence, he left the application of the fruits of redemption to men whom we call priests. He left the saving of souls to the generosity of young men who, even in the vigor of their youth, even with their whole lives ahead of them, would say, I want to share in this same priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to save souls. I want to lay down my life so that souls may live eternally, animated by this same desire of the Sacred Heart. And for 2,000 years, our Lord Jesus Christ has so inspired young men with this ideal and this desire for the priesthood. And he will do so until the end of time, because, again, this is how he plans to save the world. It's a miraculous thing when you think about it, in the supernatural order, that a young man is willing to put aside what is natural, what is, shall we say, normal, for something spiritual, for something the fruits of which we will only see when we're dead. And the New Testament priesthood is not like the Old, where it was assigned and attributed to a certain tribe, a certain family, if you will. No, in the New Testament, our Lord said, any man who wants to follow me can follow me. Let him take it, he who can. In our statutes, Archbishop Lefebvre has a line that I think really gives us a little bit more information about what the priesthood is. He says that in accomplishing their apostolic works, the priests of the society will strive to be docile instruments of the Holy Ghost in order to transmit eternal life to souls. The two words, or the two phrases, I guess, that stick out in there are instruments and eternal life to souls. The priest is an instrument. And in this sense, the priest is absolutely nothing. He's nothing. He wasn't born with the star shining on him. Our Lord never came to him and said, you're special, and I want you to come and follow me. He didn't make himself a priest. Neither doth any man take the honor to himself, but he who is called like Aaron was, as St. Paul writes to the Hebrews. A priest is an instrument. And perhaps a young man looking at priests will say, there's a dignity there. I'm afraid of that dignity. I stand for Father. I say, yes, Father. When Father comes to our house, Mom and Dad kind of roll out the red carpet for him. There's a dignity there that I'm afraid to take unto myself. Or again, the things that he does, there's no way that I could do those. Father, there's no way I could hear confessions. There's no way I could talk to thousands of people. Well, maybe not right now. After 7 years of formation, maybe you can. If you have faith that God is God, maybe you can. We remember in the Old Testament, Moses, who was God's chosen vessel, was up in the mountain speaking with God. And Moses kind of was resisting going down and telling the people that he had a message from God. They won't believe me, he said, nor hear my voice, but they will say, the Lord did not appear to thee. And Moses said, I'm slow to speak. I'm not very good with words, he said. I beseech thee, Lord, I'm not eloquent from yesterday and the day before. And God said, throw your staff down. And he did, and it turned into a snake. And God said, now pick it up. And he picked it up by the tail, and it turned back into his staff. Put your hand in your bosom. And he did, and he pulled it out, and it was white as a leper. And he said, now put it back in, and it turned back to normal flesh. And go dip water from the river and pour it out, and it turned to blood. And he says, and you can do these things because it's I who do it. And you can prove to them that you come from me. Who made man's mouth, said the Lord? I will be in thy mouth, and I will teach thee to speak. God doesn't need a certain type, a certain temperament. God doesn't need certain talents. But Father so-and-so, he's so smart. You don't need to be Father so-and-so. But Father so-and-so, he can run boys' camps. He's so amazing. Maybe. And God is using his talents for his own purposes, for God's purposes. But you don't have to be that. No, God will use what talents he has given to you if he wants to use you for his priesthood. And in fact, the less you think you are something, the more docile an instrument you will be. Is it terrifying to think about saving souls, the salvation of souls depending on you over 7 years in the seminary? Absolutely. Just like it was terrifying for our Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane to think about what he would suffer on the next day and as he went up Mount Calvary to the cross. But don't you think that our Lord, if he's going to take a young man and make him so much like unto himself that he gives him a special character on his soul, a priesthood, don't you think that he won't invite you on the same somewhat terrifying adventure to save souls? No greater love has a man than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Priest is an instrument. But, as the statutes also say, he's there to transmit eternal life. He is there to transmit eternal life. Priest is the man of the Mass. Just to say one Mass, as Father's doing right now, all the graces that come from this Mass are enough to allay God's anger at man for all the sins that he commits. It's enough to bring sanctification to many souls, not only here, but worldwide. We know many of the saints have said, if we ceased having priests offering Mass, the world wouldn't exist anymore because there would be nothing to allay God's anger. That's how important the priest is. Or when we fall, when we commit a grave sin, who do we seek out? The priest. Where's Father? I need a priest. Let me get in confession line. Let me make a point to go find the Father so that I can be unburdened. In that sense, the priest is the difference between eternal death and the soul being at peace with God again. And the soul walking around with his conscience gnawing at him and him being at peace. That's how important the priest is, because he transmits eternal life. Or even just look at the priest giving one Holy Communion. In giving Jesus to that one soul, he gives that soul everything. He gives that soul God. Body, blood, soul, and divinity in one distribution of communion. And only the priest can bring God down on that altar. And only the priest can give God to that soul. That's how important the priest is. He's an instrument, but he gives eternal life. And St. Norbert has a few beautiful lines about this idea. O priest, who are you? You are not yourself because you are God. You are not yourself because you are the servant and the minister of Christ. You are not your own because you are the spouse of the church. You are not yourself because you are the mediator between God and man. You are not from yourself because you are nothing. Who are you then, priest? Nothing and everything. And so while we chase away any false impediments, thinking, I'm not worthy, no, you're not, and you never will be, what is still wanting? What are the real impediments? Well, the priest, again, is primarily a man of prayer, the man of the Mass. His chief duties are to say his Mass and to pray his breviary. That is the priest's first duty, secondarily to preach, and thirdly to distribute the sacraments. But he's primarily a man of prayer. And so in our families, to have priestly souls, we need appreciation for the Mass and the liturgy. We need to pray as a family, especially our family rosary. Yes, it's true that the priest has to have a certain intelligence. It's necessary, there's no doubt. And that even a bit of it needs to be, he needs to have a certain ability to tackle speculative topics. But more importantly, he needs to have good judgment, common sense. That's far more important. Yes, it's true that the young man must be mature. And so we see the importance of guiding young men, allowing them responsibility so that they do mature, of not overemphasizing what is childish, sports, gaming. Well, my son, he's going to go play this sport at a Division III college. Great. He's going to do that for the rest of his life? Who cares? No, so many don't go from a lack of maturity. Can we really judge what's important and what's not? And can we commit ourselves to it? Yes, it's true that the young man must give himself to a life of celibacy. And so we see what a masterstroke it is for the devil to do everything in his power to get these stupid little devices in the hands of our young men. Because if he can take away the virtue of purity, there will be no more priests. You cannot even apply to the seminary if you do not have this virtue. It's impossible. May it reign in our families. Either way, young men, especially young men who are not yet committed to marriage, let us strike from our lips this phrase that we so often hear, "Father, I've discerned that I don't have a vocation." What does that even mean? Unless you're having mystical conversations with God, you have not discerned anything. Unless you have a clear canonical impediment, or you've already given yourself to the life of marriage through that vow, the priesthood may still be an option for you. This invitation to the higher life is still there. And would that our young men, any young man who isn't married, might give God the first dibs. Maybe it happens on a retreat. Maybe it happens at the moment of communion. Maybe he's making a visit to our Lord or just saying his evening prayers. And he asks himself, and God gives him a special grace maybe, what do I owe God? Maybe I've been forgiven for some grave sins. What do I owe God in return? Quid retribuam Domino, pro omnibus quid retribuit mihi, as we say in the Mass. What can I render back to God for all the things that he's rendered to me? How important is this life, thinks the young man. I can help save souls as an instrument of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can be so closely united with him that I say over a piece of bread, this is my body, and it becomes the body of Jesus. Or I absolve you of your sins, and Jesus absolves you because I said it in his name. That's how close the priest is with Jesus. I want that. Well, the young man thinks, but I'm not worthy. You're right, it's true. But Jesus doesn't need a saint to go. But no priest has told me that I have a vocation, and I hope that they never will, because I don't know any who can look into the crystal ball and tell you that. But Susie Q, she's pretty cute. Well, if you think so, then... If you don't think so, then we don't want you at the seminary. We don't take those kind there. But that's part of the sacrifice. And raising a family, obviously, is a beautiful thing. And we need good young men to raise families too. But it is a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. And won't your Mass become more and more beautiful? And won't your union with our Lord Jesus Christ take on a greater significance? And won't it be a foretaste of heaven, where you will see him face to face? Would it not be the best decision to use my one life to lay it down, to be an instrument of eternal life? Yes, I will go. I will become a priest, or at least I will commit myself so much to this priestly ideal that I will pursue it until a competent authority tells me to stop pursuing it. That's what we need. That's what we should pray for. And let's pray for our seminarians who are already there, because to make that step is already a huge battle won. Let's pray for many more of our young men that they may try to give themselves to this higher life. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.